VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Folks, a lot of important information we'll be sharing. The United Nations, the World Health Organization, and the World Economic Forum have been pushing for world governance. I mean, how often have we been told that a worldwide pandemic requires a worldwide solution? We've heard it said a worldwide climate emergency must be handled with global governance. We must have worldwide solution to this. I mean, there have been proposals for global taxes and global solutions for all of these problems that impact us around the world here today. This is really nothing new, and I know I've aired this before, but I just want to recall for you a public service announcement that we and stations across the country received in the late 1990s. It was John Anderson of the World Federalist Association calling for world government. Here was that 25-second clip.
Hello, I'm John Anderson, president of the World Federalist Association. We believe in world peace through world law. How to achieve that law? How to achieve that goal? We believe in an empowered United Nations with the kind of institutions that can give us global governance for global problems. We hope that you'll join us in that effort to help shape a better future for all of us.
So, folks, this push, and again, that was from the late 90s, this push for world governance continues, I mean, decades now into it. And a primary proponent of this is none other than Pope Francis, who is calling for global governance, universal vaccines, also recently stressed the brotherhood of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, shall I say a one-world religion? Well, joining us with discussion on this topic, as well as some of the technology that's underway, including a new COVID monitoring device that is implantable under the skin, we welcome back Gary Kah. Gary is founder and director of Hope for the World, a former Europe and Middle East trade specialist for Indiana State Government. As we have shared previous on this program, Gary was invited to join the World Constitution and Parliament Association, one of the organizations involved at the forefront of promoting the world government agenda. And during those next several years, he got some pretty detailed documents that demonstrated that this push toward a one-world government was active and rapidly advancing. And Gary, we are closer than ever before. Good afternoon.
We sure are. Jim, it's good to be with you as always. Yeah.
Well, Gary, earlier this month, April 2021, Pope Francis had addressed the World Bank and International Monetary Fund at their spring meeting. And in light of COVID-19, he was calling for global governance, also advocated for universal vaccines. And in referencing COVID-19, he declared that the world had been forced to confront a series of grave and interrelated socioeconomic, ecological, and political crises. Could you give us some of the backstory as to what's happening with this issue of the Pope and global governance?
Yeah, he's holding more and more meetings at every level, really involving the environment, the new coming global financial system, the vaccines. He's involved in all of these areas now quite openly. He had been involved behind the scenes, but now is more out in the open about it. I've got an article here written on April 8th, coming from Vatican City, is put out by LifeSight News, which is a Catholic news organization that has really been doing a commendable job in covering some of the Pope's antics here of late. And they say Pope Francis has addressed the World Bank and International Monetary Fund at their spring meeting, calling for global governance in light of COVID-19. Strongly advocating for universal vaccines and bemoaning the ecological debt, which is owed to nature itself. So in summary, again, the vaccines, the climate, and the new global financial political scene that is set to unfold and solve all these problems for us. To continue from this article, his letter was delivered via Cardinal Peter Turkson, Prefect of the Holy Say's Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, to the spring 2021 meeting between the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, which, as we mentioned, was held earlier this month. Now, dated April 4th, this letter from the Pope mentioned God just once in the final line. Instead, Francis focused on calling for a system of global government which would implement a new societal order upon the world based upon climate change policies and universal vaccination. Now, that's the statement coming from LifeSite News, which has been covering all of this. They also point out in this article that he uses the term universal common good a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a term that's also used by Marxists and really dedicated socialists and globalists. It has been for years. And so that has become part of his daily lingo now. And the Pope said, and I quote, "It is my hope that your discussions will contribute to a model of recovery capable of generating new, more inclusive, and sustainable solutions to support the real economy, assisting individuals and communities to achieve their deepest aspirations and the universal common good." And he also says, he urged the two financial giants, the IMF and the World Bank, to develop relationships of trust with people and engage in building bridges and envisioning long-term inclusive projects, all for the aim of global government and a new system. So he really drove that point home throughout.
Well, what is, so he uses the term universal common good, but flesh that out for us. What does that really mean in practical terms?
Well, he couches a lot of this under the guise of climate change. We've all got to get on board and save the Earth, and therefore laws need to be implemented where all of us, especially the wealthier nations, give up certain freedoms for the sake of saving the planet, and even pay for programs that would reduce the pollution in the poorer nations. He presents kind of a North versus South picture here, but it all circulates around climate change and this new structure of laws under global laws, global governance, coupled with a new global economic system that would help enforce all of this and see it through and restructure. I mean, he openly talks about that, about restructuring the global economic system, which you and I, we've been around long enough, Jim. We remember the perestroika of Mikhail Gorbachev,
oh, yes,
who also was very close friends with the Pope. And, of course, perestroika means the restructuring. And so this has been in the making for a long time, but they feel comfortable enough to come out in the open with it now because they feel they've got the media locked up, academia, the UN, and many global institutions, the entire global green movement. This is all coalescing together, and things are really unfolding at lightning speed. I mean, it's just amazing how quickly this is coming together.
Now, when I was hearing you give one of those quotes earlier, you spoke of the Pope using the term ecological debt.
Yes, yeah, he tries to present the image that we all owe something to Mother Earth. And by the way, he hardly ever mentions God or Christ. I think he mentioned it one line at the very end in this particular letter, but it almost comes across as a form of Earth worship, and mm-hmm. we've got to do whatever we can to bow down to Mother Earth and financially and through our actions, and it becomes a borderline religion with him. And, of course, with many people, it really is about religion. You know, I mean, we just came through Earth Week, and if people look at how Earth Day, it started with one day, Earth Day,
right.
Now it's pretty much a whole week. The people that got that going decades ago spoke of it with religious fervor. It really is a kind of religious holiday for the global green movement. I mean, let's call it what it is, and the Pope is front and center in all of this.
Yeah, and I saw also a quote from him saying, "No one is saved alone, and hence there are new and creative forms of social, political, and economic participation must be drawn up." And he's talking really, Gary, about doing this on a global basis.
Yeah, he is, and if people have any doubt about that, and they're just thinking maybe he's just using terms that sound a lot like other globalists, and he really doesn't know what he's pushing here. He has already signaled how intimate he is with Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum. Four times now in his 8 years as Pope, He has made a special effort to reach out to the World Economic Forum, allowing even an annual Vatican roundtable at Davos, Switzerland, at the World Economic Forum's annual conference. And so the Vatican actually has a presence at that meeting, at the World Economic Forum. They're part of it. And there's no way you can be part of that and not realize where all of this is going.
Mm-hmm.
With all the writings of Klaus Schwab, his best-selling books out there, he basically coined the term the global reset, the Great Reset, and more and more is coming out about that as well. And in fact, in May, just coming up, they're going to have their big meeting, and we can talk more about that later in the program. But again, the Pope is involved from the economic standpoint, the climate change standpoint, and also the political side of this, of restructuring the world, pretty much every area, and of course the religious side of it.
Yeah, and
calling for global unity among all the world's religions.
Yeah, and
have to have.
I find that
be a world government.
And I find that so interesting because it was just a month previous to this, back in March, he was in Ur and he had this interreligious meeting. Now there were no Jewish representatives there, but there indeed were Muslim representatives. And the Pope said this: "Today, we Jews, Christians, and Muslims, together with our brothers and sisters of other religions, honor our father Abraham by doing as he did. We look up to heaven, we journey on earth. We look up to heaven thousands of years later. As we look up to the same sky, those same stars appear. They illumine the darkest nights because they shine together. Heaven thus imparts a message of unity. The Almighty above invites us never to separate ourselves from our neighbors." As I read this, Gary, I thought that this sounds like he's promoting a unified religion.
Yeah, and he is. He is, and he's not the first pope to do so, but he's doing it much more openly and aggressively than the previous popes. In his recent address, he dealt with the topic of salvation, but once again viewing it with a purely earthly understanding and linking salvation to the New World Order and a focus of green policies. And again, this is according to the LifeSite article that I've been quoting here that I want to give them credit on this. He states, and this is a quote of the Pope, says, "The path to humanity's salvation passes through the creation of a new model of development which unquestionably focuses on coexistence among peoples in harmony with creation." So it's this whole earth-centered approach, and he's trying to unite the religious leaders of the world around that, not just those of Judaism and Islam, but of the other religions as well. And so this is global, and he's touting the mantra, global problems demand global solutions, you know, and toward this end, the Pope has launched his own initiative with the UN and with globalist corporations to promote a new economic system of capitalism and ensure the achievement of the UN Sustainable Development Goals. And I think on the last program I did with you, Jim, I mentioned some specifics that the Pope had put in place regarding the economy and what he's trying to do there. It might be re-mentioning that here if you have a moment.
Yeah, tell you what, let's quick take a break and let's come back to that aspect. Gary Kaa is with us today. Indeed, ladies and gentlemen, the Pope is pushing world governance, and we'll pick up with our discussion after the break. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, I've heard that men have one less rib than women due to the creation of Eve from Adam's rib. Is this correct?
No, it's not, Chris. This is an urban legend that's patently untrue. Men and women have the same number of ribs. The number of ribs is controlled by genetics, and this supplies the same number of ribs, even if one is taken out. The same sort of thing happens if one loses a hand in an accident. If he later has children, that child will have hands. Even though this legend has grown up in some circles, the Bible never even gives a hint that this might be true. The Bible is not a legend. It's an accurate record. We best not impose our own legendary biases on the Back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the push toward global governance is every before us, and one of the primary pushers is none other than the Pope himself. Gary Kaa is with us today, founder and director of Hope for the World. And Gary, as we're talking about the Pope, as that break came upon us, we were just starting to talk about some of that those economic initiatives that are being championed by the Pope.
Yeah, back in December, he launched just a huge push. It's called the New Alliance. A new alliance was established. It's actually called the Guardians for Inclusive Capitalism, and it's part of a Council for Inclusive Capitalism with the Vatican. It's a historic new partnership between some of the world's largest investment and business leaders and the Vatican. And that's using their own words. I'm quoting from a Vatican press release here. Some of the other things they say here, I'll just go through this very quickly. The council is led by a core group of global leaders known as Guardians for Inclusive Capitalism. These leaders represent more than $10.5 trillion in assets under management and companies with over $2.1 trillion of market capitalization and 200 million workers in over 163 countries. Now, I would say that gives this group some significant clout, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
And then speaking to the Guardians, Pope Francis said, and I quote, "An economic system that is fair, trustworthy, and capable of addressing the most profound challenges facing humanity and our planet is urgently needed. You have taken up the challenge by seeking ways to make capitalism become a more inclusive instrument for integral human well-being," end quote. Again, it's this whole idea of the common good. And when you read a little bit behind the lines, you realize this is all about a push for global governance. Lynn Forrester de Rothschild, the founder of the council and managing partner of Inclusive Capital Partners, states, quote, "This council will follow the warning from Pope Francis to listen to the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor and answer society's demands for a more equitable and sustainable model of growth," end quote. So again, a lot of this being couched under the climate change agenda. And then some of the guardians of the council who belong to this group include the president and CEO of MasterCard, which, by the way, they tie into this at various levels as well. I see MasterCard coming up all over the place in this. Also, the CEO and founder of Salesforce, the executive chairman of DuPont, CEO of Merck and Company, CEO of Johnson & Johnson, chairman and chief executive officer of Visa, chief executive officer of British Petroleum, president of the Rockefeller Foundation, president of the Ford Foundation. I mean, these are heavyweights.
Yes,
these are powerful people, many of whom, some more than others, have been promoting globalization and world government on their own for years and years. But now they're together in this group backing the Pope.
Gary, at the same time, there has been a Archbishop Vigano, who is a former ambassador to the U.S. He literally has been a burr under the saddle of the Pope here, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has really sounded the alarm, speaking out against the Great Reset, the Pope's direct involvement in all of this, and he makes some strong statements. In one of them, he said, "As is now clear, the one who occupies the chair of Peter has betrayed his role from the very beginning in order to defend and promote the globalist ideology, supporting the agenda of the deep church who chose him from its ranks." So that statement kind of sums up where he's coming from, and he's speaking as a Vatican insider. And since last talking to you, Jim, I received something from Italy, from one of our lead researchers over there who keeps a close eye on developments at the Vatican. And he picked up a story. This was an interview conducted by a German news organization of Archbishop Vigano. The interview took place on February 28th. And again, it is the Deutsche Wirtschaftsnachrichten, which means the German Economic News Service. And I highlighted, I mean, this is really long because it was a lengthy interview. I highlighted maybe six paragraphs or so, some snippets from them. I just want to share a few of these. This is, again, Archbishop Vigano in this interview with this German economic news organization. He says, we know by the admission of those involved that this pseudo-pandemic was planned for years, primarily by weakening national health systems and pandemic plans. We know that a very specific script was followed that was conceived in order to give the same response in every country and to streamline diagnoses, hospitalizations, treatments, and above all, containment measures and the information being given to citizens on the global level. There is a directorate that continues to manage COVID-19 with the single purpose of forcibly imposing limitations on natural liberties, constitutional rights, free enterprise, and work. The problem is not COVID in itself, but the use of what has happened in order to accomplish the Great Reset that the World Economic Forum announced some time ago and that today is being implemented point by point with the intention of making social changes inevitable that would otherwise be rejected and condemned by the majority of the population. The threat of a pandemic was required, presented as devastating by the mainstream media, in order to convince the global population to undergo confinements and lockdowns, that is, real house arrest, the canceling of activities, the suspension of school lessons, and even a ban on worship. And all this was obtained with the complicity of all those involved, in particular, political leaders, health officials, and even the ecclesiastical hierarchy itself. Now listen to this. He goes on, he says, with what, and he's really pointing at the Pope here, and that becomes clear in the interview, throughout the interview. He says, with what severity will they be judged who have knowingly prohibited treatment and prescribed blatantly erroneous protocols in order to obtain a number of deaths that would legitimize social alarm and absurd containment measures? What punishment awaits those who deliberately created the conditions for a global economic and social crisis in order to destroy small and medium-sized enterprises and make multinational corporations grow, who boycotted or forbade available cures in order to favor the pharmaceutical companies, who presented gene serums as vaccines, subjecting the population to an experiment with still unknown results and side effects that are certainly more serious than the symptoms of COVID, who favored the apocalyptic narrative in the seats of Parliament and in the editorial offices of the media, and the highest levels of the Catholic hierarchy, which have been complicit in this grotesque farce? How will they justify themselves before God when they appear in His presence to be judged? And then finally, he says, in the Catholic Church, there is a very powerful lobby that usurps the authority of the hierarchy with the same purposes. In substance, both state and church are occupied by an illegitimate power that has their destruction and the establishment of the New World Order as its final goal. And he names them as being the deep state and the deep church, and identifies the current pope as being very much at the center of this. In fact, he makes one final statement about the pope, whose actual name is Jorge Bergoglio. He says, the plan for the establishment of the New World Order cannot fail to give itself a universal religion of Masonic inspiration, at the head of which there must be a religious leader who is ecumenical, popeist, ecological, and progressive. Who would be better suited for this role than Bergoglio? In other words, Pope Francis.
Wow, wow. So
that's just some of this interview. I'm telling you, it's really hard-hitting and to the point, but he's really trying to get the warning out. And he even sent a letter, of course, to President Trump right before the election. And so I'm amazed that this man is still out there. And I think probably the best defense he has right now for himself is the fact that he's appearing on a lot of programs doing these interviews, because people like him that have spoken out like that in the past, they've had things happen to him where they just disappear. So we really need to be praying for this man. I don't totally agree with his theology on some things, but he is really sticking his neck out there trying to warn people of what's coming if this pope and his cohorts have their way.
Well, world governance is where this pope is headed. Gary, we've got to get to the technology aspect, but one last question here pertaining to the pope. You mentioned that there's a meeting coming up in May.
Yes, meeting of the Great Reset, wanting to introduce the Great Reset to the world. And so they've been talking about this for over a year now. They nudged it along during their meeting in January. And now in May, this is to be kind of the launching point. And no one knows for sure exactly how this is going to be moving forward publicly, but a lot of emphasis has been placed on the month of May. And then in addition to that, Jim, I just found out a few days ago, the World Economic Forum announced that they are planning a Cyber War Games meeting for this July, just a couple months from now. And during that time, they will be simulating a major cyber attack on the global supply chain and our economic system. So, you know, you wonder, I mean, the Gates Foundation and the World Economic Forum, they participated in a similar simulation. I call it a dress rehearsal.
Yes.
For the global pandemic back in October of 2019. And then it just so happened within 2 months, COVID-19 broke out. So you wonder if this Cyber War Games meeting is, you know, an indicator of you know, what these people have up their sleeves and what we might be expecting maybe later this year or beyond. But that does concern me that they are actually holding a Cyber War Games meeting and stressing all of that. Again, I think we need to learn from the past, and we've seen how these people work. I personally believe it was not a coincidence that they had their Event 201 meeting in October of 2019, and then within 2 months, COVID-19 broke out. So maybe this upcoming meeting in July is not a coincidence either.
Gary Kaas with us today from Hope for the World. Folks, packed with information today on the broadcast, and we're going to be taking a break. And when we come back, I do want to bring up this technology update as well as to what is going on. And these, they sound like they're not related at all, but folks, if you're familiar with end time events, you'll find that when they're talking about implantable chips to go under the skin, this new COVID biochip that's implanted under the skin, palm scanners that are going on as well, you're going to find there is an interconnectedness to the very issues that we talk about. Gary, shortly before the break, though, just give us a word about Hope for the World, and I know you've got a newsletter that's available to listeners as well.
That's right. Yeah, we have a research publication, a research news journal called Hope for the World Update. It's quarterly. It's usually about 20 pages long, packed with documented information, usually about 10 articles or so coming from some of the world's top researchers. I typically write the lead article on some of the most relevant issues facing us at the moment. And you can subscribe to it online at our website, which is simply garycaw.org, garycaw.org. And I just want to say, when you become a subscriber, you help to support us so that we can keep doing what we're doing. It's not easy. We need your help. We need your prayers as well in order to continue to get this information out there and to be a warning to the body of Christ and to anyone else who is willing to listen.
Again, that's Gary Kaas, KAH.org. We're going to take this quick break, and when we come back, let's focus in on some of the expanding technology that is going on, and some of this will just blow you away here, folks, as to the developments and what is taking place with technology. Back in a minute. You're listening to the Crosstalk here on the VCY America Network.
More now than at any other time in our nation's history, we are deluged in all forms of media. Television, radio, video games, social media, smartphones, iPads, iPods, computers, Blu-ray, and a myriad of other offerings. Along with all of this exposure comes the key question: how do I safeguard myself and family from that which is inappropriate? In the book, Biblical Filters for Your Media Choices, author Joe Schlero presents 10 biblical filters a Christian must consider before engaging in the media. This 50-page booklet presents a biblical filter derived from scriptural principles. VCY America is offering one copy of the booklet for a donation of $7, or get 5 copies for a donation of $30. Call 1-800-729-9829 and ask for Biblical Filters for Your Media Choices.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. And friends, there's a lot of information that's being unpacked during this hour today. And some of you are saying, slow down, you're getting out so much info. If you'd like to obtain a hard copy of this on a CD, all you need to do is contact our switchboard at 800-729-9829. We do make CDs available of Crosstalk programs, our way of saying thank you for your support of $6 or more. This will also be up on our website within just a few hours. You'll be able to send links to this and listen free online as well. But if you do want that hard copy, just call us at 800-729-9829. Gary Ka is with us today from Hope for the World. His website, GaryKa.org, and Ka is spelled K-A-H, GaryKa.org. Gary, simultaneously is this call for world governance taking place, and we're using every single, and I'm putting, quote, crises in this world today to just escalate where things are going and what's happening. And then we have, the likes of stories coming out, and even CBS 60 Minutes did a feature on, here we have a Pentagon scientist unveiling this new COVID biochip that's implantable under the skin.
Yeah, that's right. Just a couple of weeks ago, CBS on their show, 60 Minutes, interviewed retired Army Colonel Matt Hepburn, who's an expert on technology, and he was sharing about some of the things that they've been developing. And he described this biochip, and he says it's a sensor, as he was holding up and talking about one of the creations. There's so much technology behind this. It's gone so far, so fast. Either that or it's been developed behind the scenes over a long period of time. We just didn't know about it. But the news outlet Defense One outlined how an implanted sensor developed by the company Profusa would work. And here's what it says, among other things. American technology company Profusa is awaiting FDA approval of an injectable, permanent, under-the-skin biochip sensor made of advanced hydrogel, remember that word, hydrogel, by early next year. The chip is meant to detect COVID infections as soon as the body begins to show symptoms. And so they're at the stage now where they are ready to put chips into people in the name of fighting this pandemic, mm-hmm. and being able to identify anyone who's coming down with this disease immediately as soon as they show any symptoms. You know, and it's all going to sound good. And some of these people may even have good intentions. But when you look at a lot of this technology overall and look where some of the funding is coming from, it does come together. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Regarding this particular chip, Colonel Matt Hepburn describes it as follows. He says the sensor has two parts. One is a 3-millimeter string of hydrogel, a material whose network of polymer chains is used in some contact lenses and other implants. Inserted under the skin with a syringe, the string includes a specially engineered molecule that sends a fluorescent signal outside of the body when the body begins to fight an infection. He goes on, he says, the other part is an electronic component attached to the skin. It sends light through the skin, detects the fluorescent signal, and generates another signal that the wearer can send to a doctor, website, etc. It's like a blood lab on the skin that can pick up the body's response to illness before the presence of other symptoms like coughing. End quote. So you just wonder how long it'll be before, you know, they'll want everybody to have one of these mm-hmm. on them, so that you can be monitored 24/7 in the name of health. And then what happens to those people who resist this? You know, are they going to be condemned as being a risk to their neighbors around them because they don't participate in some of these health initiatives? But for right now, this is being experimented with in the military. So yeah. We'll have to keep an eye on that.
Yes.
But it's just around the corner.
And they talk about, you know, like sailors out on a ship, they'll be able to monitor them. But I found it also interesting, Gary, he said, it's not some dreaded government microchip to track your every move, but a tissue-like gel engineered to continuously test your blood, like a check engine light. Don't worry about this. It's not going to track you. It's just going to, there's going to be a check engine light. Where does that light appear? I mean, who gets the signal?
Well, and they were talking about how you can check, transfer this through the Internet. And we also know that other technologies that have already been developed that when you pass a smartphone over a substance, an implanted chip or gel under the skin of your hand, let's say, with a certain app, the phone can read that and determine certain things about your health status. And so that's coming together as well. I know I mentioned that on previous programs. It's one of those technologies. It's called the quantum dot technology that puts basically an invisible tattoo type of thing that it shoots into you that can only be then seen by a special app. And then you have this actual biochip being spoken of that is along the same lines. And then in Seattle, this just came out this week on April 21st. Amazon is bringing a palm scanning payment system to Whole Foods stores, and they're going to begin rolling this out in Seattle. And just a couple of statements here. And this is really, this is going to get people used to using their hand to buy or sell with. So this gets really close to what the Bible warns about in Revelation chapter 13 and 14. Mm-hmm. Just a quote here. Amazon One, which debuted in September, that's the name of this scanning program, and is currently in use at about a dozen Amazon physical stores, allows shoppers to pay for items by placing their palm over a scanning device. The first time shoppers use the kiosk, they have to insert a credit card to link it with their palm print. But after that, shoppers can pay simply by holding their hand over the kiosk. Amazon will initially roll out Amazon One at the Whole Foods in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood, not far from the company's headquarters, before launching the system at 7 Seattle-area Whole Foods in the coming months. And by the way, Amazon acquired that grocery chain, Whole Foods, in 2017 for more than $13 billion, which I was previously not aware of. So, again, Amazon is using Whole Foods to roll out this technology. And by itself, it seems harmless enough, but taken together with all the other trends globally and how so many of these power players fit together and go to the same World Economic Forum meetings and so forth, promoting world government, you know, we would just have to be completely ignorant and undiscerning not to see where all of this is headed. By the way, the article I just quoted from Annie Palmer wrote that, and it's called Amazon is Bringing Palm Scanning Payment System to Whole Foods Stores. So people can look that up online and read it more at length. By the way, Amazon says thousands of people have signed up to use it at Amazon stores. It's as if people are waiting in line to be part of this.
Yeah, and more to come. More to come.
Yeah.
Gary Kaz is our guest here today on Crosstalk. Our phone number, 800-733-9829. If you have a question you'd like to ask of Gary today or a brief comment, 800-733-9829. And Gary, even going back to this this microchip, this implantable microchip, a subdermal microchip, the report that it's General Electric that's been awarded this grant by the government in order to fund this development project for this. They're calling it for novel, non-traditional approaches to identify the current SARS-CoV-2 virus. So General Electric getting into this through, it appears to be a two-year contract that got underway December 21st.
Yeah, if you add it all up, there are billions of dollars going into this technology now. And it's not even so much the technology anymore. It has as much to do with how to roll out this technology, because the technology is there. It exists. And they're trying to figure out how can we make this palatable to the public in a way that they'll buy into it and accept it. And ultimately, this technology will be used to control people. I mean, we're giving up more and more of our freedoms and privacy, and everything goes into, you know, a data bank, and that information, we're always assured that it's going to be private, you know, but it never is. It always ends up being accessed somehow by organizations that shouldn't have the information. And here I've got another article. This was from a few months ago, written by Tyler Durden. It said testing will begin in Africa for biometric ID, vaccine records, and payment systems. All those things are being merged together technologically with one type of program. And just a couple of quick quotes here. It says testing will soon begin in poverty-stricken parts of Africa for a biometric ID, which will also be your payment system and vaccine record. There you go. the biometric digital identity platform that evolves just as you evolve, quote-unquote, is backed by none other than the Bill Gates-backed Gavi Vaccine Alliance, MasterCard, and the artificial intelligence-powered identity authentication company called TrustStamp. TrustStamp, remember that name. It goes on to say, the program, which was first launched in late 2018, will see TrustStamp's digital identity platform integrated into the Gavi MasterCard Wellness Pass, a digital vaccination record and identity system that is also linked to MasterCard's click-to-play system that is powered by its AI and machine learning technology called NuData, spelled N-U-D-A-T-A. MasterCard, in addition to professing its commitment to promoting centralized record-keeping of childhood immunization, also describes itself as a leader toward a, quote, world beyond cash, end quote. And its partnership with Gavi marks a novel approach towards linking a biometric digital identity system, vaccination records, and a payment system into a single cohesive platform, end quote. So if you're thinking, you know, this is just all about health and vaccines and so forth, no, that's what's being used as the excuse. The plans are far bigger than that. And the Gates Foundation is funding so much of this on all these different fronts, along with the Rockefeller Foundation and other groups. And like I said, billions of dollars are being thrown around using this push for vaccination really as a way to begin to control people very tightly, including the financial side of it, and in the name of bringing about global governance, as we spoke of earlier in the program with the Pope's involvement. Calling for all of this. And then one other thing, I guess this would be the best place to bring it up if I have time. Moderna, on their website, of course, Moderna was the second company to come out with an mRNA vaccine. Under the subheading, Our Operating System, they state this, and I pull this directly from their website. This is a direct quote. It says, recognizing the broad potential of mRNA science, we set out to create an mRNA technology platform that functions very much like an operating system on a computer. It is designed so that it can plug and play interchangeably with different programs. In our case, the program or app is our mRNA drug, the unique mRNA sequence that codes for a protein, end quote. So my question, Jim, is if this is the case, if basically this is like an app or a program that's being placed in people, what are they going to do with this in the future? If this is a platform, that means they're going to build on that platform.
Yeah, an operating system.
Operating system, yeah. And so I personally believe that these mRNA vaccines that they're putting in people are going to serve as a platform for future vaccines and other developments that they're going to plug into this that will lead up and possibly become the mark of the beast. I'm not saying this is the mark of the beast, but I'm saying this is all prepping us for that. It's providing a launching pad for that, and it's moving very quickly.
We got to take a break right here. We'll come to your calls after the break. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, Mike Lindell declared on one of his broadcasts, what we're seeing in America now is communism. Many people may think that's over the top, but it's not. Recently, I acquired, in writing, a report written by progressives out of the United States House of Representatives, by 13 of them. And you know what they want? They want us to stop using the phrase, in God we trust. They also told the Biden administration they should not be using the phrase Judeo-Christian. They also went on to say they want the Biden administration and his agencies to decide who is a church and who is not, who can be a 501c3 church and who cannot. They also wanted to eliminate all non-religious exemptions for vaccines, and they also want the Department of Homeland Security and Justice to use funds for de-radicalization of conservatives.
We'll be right back. Today is truly one of those days we could use an extra hour. Gary Kaa is with us today. Pope pushes world governance, and we're also talking about this this advancing technology as well. And by the way, Gary's website, GaryKaa.org, K-A-H, GaryKaa.org. His newsletter available there, or if you want to subscribe, you want to use telephone, their ministry line number is 317-290-4673, 317-290-4673. Let's go to Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, my question is this. Whether John Kerry is collaborated with the Pope Francis, especially back in the day when he stated the biggest threat to the U.S. was global warming. And that's in light of the latest allegation to him insinuating that he was guilty of passing on top-secret information Iran.
Yeah, I mean, the allegations of being a betrayal to Israel. Gary, this is astounding information.
Yeah, this is breaking news. It's not too difficult to believe that it is true, though, because of his past history. He is a staunch globalist. He's had meetings in the past with Vatican officials, with top climate change people. He's completely in the tank on all of that. And so he's basically one of these people who travels around the world and is falls into the category of being a crisis manager, so to speak. And, of course, the more crises there are, the easier it makes it for the globalists to try to usher in their new world order to allegedly solve all these crises. And so you'll notice wherever Kerry, anything that Kerry is in the middle of, it seems to lead to some type of a crisis. And when he was working together with the Obama administration a few years back, you look at what happened in the Middle East during that time. Everywhere where there was peace, there ended up being tumultuous uprisings and wars, and basically the Middle East was turned on its head, and suddenly there were crises everywhere.
And so,
keep your eyes on Kerry and what he's doing. I hope that he is called out in a major way on this and that he has to resign. I doubt that will happen.
Thank you, Mark. Chris in Oshkosh, you're on the air.
Yeah, just a quick comment. I was wondering if your guest is aware of the Pope's hat that he wears, that pointed hat. In Latin, it says on there, Vicarius Filii Dei, which is translated representative of the Son of God.
Yeah.
One of the translations of the word Antichrist is in place of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that kind of ironic or strange?
Yeah.
The Pope's definitely going to be one of the two players in the book of Revelation, the false prophet, the other being the political leader that's going to rise up. So, yeah, everything he was saying earlier, I missed the very beginning, but everything he was saying earlier is absolutely accurate.
Yeah, thank you, Chris, for that. Troy is calling also from Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call. My comment, I have a question, a comment, though. I had a dream about two months ago.
Let's not talk about the dream. Let's go right to your question. We've only got 4 minutes left in the program here.
Any nanotechnology available where microchips, like microchip technology, can go into your system through nanotechnology?
I'm sorry. Yeah, Troy, you're breaking up so much on your cell phone there. Wayne in Chattanooga, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah, mine's pertaining to the previous question about Antichrist, that, Revelation 17:17 says that God puts it in the heart of world leaders to accomplish his will, and Antichrist is not the cause of evil, but he's merely the fruit of evil that's been rising up. And these world leaders now are a group of men, but won't it be handed over to a single leader through some great crisis, such as the rapture?
Well, I believe there are going to be numerous crises that come together, and we're getting closer and closer to that. They're really working five areas all at the same time. We touched on some of those in this program, and the day is going to come where they argue that the only solution for all these problems and to bring about world peace is going to be a global system of government. And I believe that they will bring in the religious side of things. It's inevitable, and bring all the world's religions together, and that there will be one single figure that emerges as having the lead with a second figure backing him up. And if this were to happen in the very near future, I hate to speculate about this stuff because things can change so quickly, but right now this current pope is definitely in a position to play one of those two key major roles. I will say that.
Thank you, Wayne, for the call. Randy in Fayetteville, Arkansas, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, talk about all the stuff going on, the pandemic, the economies of the world. How about the rioting and the so-called police brutality that we've been reported lately, and the Asian American insults? Is this all part of the plan by these elites?
Chaos and Gary, what we've got, we've got a pulling, and the actually all this diversity we talk about, we are causing greater division than ever before. Is all this division that we're seeing on so many different fronts, is that all playing into this as well?
You better believe it. Yeah, this broader social justice movement with Antifa and BLM and some of these organizations involved, the founders of which are strong socialists and globalists pushing the world government agenda. Everything that we've seen happen over the last year has actually brought more division and more racial tension than bringing people closer together. And I think in the short term, they see that as being necessary, again, to create crisis in this area so that they can then come in with their solution, which always takes us further down the path towards socialism and world government in the name of world peace and world unity. You see, if everything was going fine in the world, Jim, there would be no reason for major changes, for people to embrace these major changes. So you have to have this acceleration of all these problems to where they reach a crisis point so that then the devil can introduce his plan and move forward with that agenda. But the good news, I know we're running out of time here, the hope lies in the fact that our eternity is secure through Jesus, our Messiah, because he bore our sins on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sins in full. So we have to repent, believe, put our trust in Jesus, and follow him. And if we do that, becoming one of his disciples, he promises to stay with us no matter what happens in this world. And we have to emphasize that with all this bad stuff happening, we've got to offer that hope. No matter what the devil throws our way, we know that God has a plan, and in the end, he wins. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus promised, "Surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age."
Amen.
We
and Gary,
we
can cling to that, and we're going to have to leave it there. Gary, thank you so much for joining us here today.
You bet. Thank you, Jim.
And folks, take the information you've shared, and I so appreciate the hope that Gary left us with here today. Share this information with others. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.